What's up, everybody? Welcome to our Dynasty Sells video. Today, Tom and I are going to be going over three players each that we feel like you should sell before this upcoming season, because not that we think they're busts, but we think their value will take a little bit of a drop, will take a hit. So without further ado, Tom, let's just jump right in and you start with your first player that you believe is a Dynasty sell.
All right. So like you just alluded to, we are not saying these players are bad at football whatsoever. I'm swinging for the fences a little bit with my sells. I like to sell high on some guys. So my first guy is Chase Claypool, and Robbie is immediately upset. Last year he was a wide receiver 25. However, you have Diontae Johnson, who I feel like is a better wide receiver, coming in at wide receiver 21. Juju came back. He's wide receiver 26. He has by far the worst catch rate between the three, coming in at 56.9%. He gets the least amount of targets per game, only 6.1. Diontae is going to be your target monster in PPR formats. That's who you want. 9.6. Juju's coming in at 8. I know Juju's probably going to leave after next year, so that's a little bit of a debate. But again, that opens it up for somebody like Robbie to be like, okay, Juju's leaving next year. Claypool's going to step up. He was uber efficient last year, 14.1 yards per reception, and he had a 6.8 TD rate per reception, which is absolutely insane. Every 6.8 balls that he caught went for a touchdown. DK was at 12.9% for reference. We have a declining arm in Ben Roethlisberger. He had 5 touchdowns in 2 games, 3 of which were against my Philadelphia Eagles. 1 was rushing, so he had 4 total, and he had only 4 in the remaining 14 games. So they're bringing in Najee Harris. 4 out of his 9 receiving touchdowns were from 11 yards and in. I think Najee's going to cut into that. He's still got a ton of people out there that love him. His trade value is very good. It's still high. So you know what? I'm just going to say sell high on Chase Claypool. I would sell him to Robbie if I had him in a league we were in. And you know what? We would both probably be very happy. So yeah, my first guy's Chase Claypool. I'm not screwed around.
No, you are not. That is a hot name to start this out, because he's one of the guys that I'm just really excited about. I definitely think he can take that next step. One thing you mentioned was his catch percentage. It was dismal at like 57% or something like that. And I think that can improve in his second season. You see that Jerry Jeudy had the same thing. Jalen Reagor. We see sometimes rookies don't have the best catch percentage. They're kind of learning the system, trying to figure things out at the NFL level. And so I do think that can take a step up. And then you also mentioned Big Ben's arm. He was recovering up from that elbow surgery. I think that's been a lot of talk this offseason, was he wasn't at his complete self, and that offensive system was just about a lot of dink and dunk. So those two factors really limited Chase Claypool's upside of getting down the field and just getting deep shots as much as he can, and I think he will in the future years. And so I think with Matt Canada coming in at OC, I hope that they do that. So we're on different sides of the fence there with that player, but I do respect it because he is wide receiver 25. So basically going as a top 24 wide receiver 2 wide receiver. So I definitely think that is a name that you could move if you were not hot to trot on him. I will open things up. Not as bold as you, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, who's quarterback 15 in DLF's ADP. So Aaron Rodgers is obviously in the news a lot right now. He thinks he might hold out, or there are people think he might hold out. But honestly, I think this whole situation resolves itself. We've heard Aaron Rodgers has had issues before. He's not happy with the organization. He wants something to change. And so if it does, which I think it does, he's right back in there, and I think people will keep him at this quarterback 15 range. And if it doesn't, he's probably going to another team, right? Broncos has been a rumored team. There's been a couple other teams as well. But here's my problem with Aaron Rodgers, though. Last season, he had a historic 9.2 TD percentage. Like, that was the highest since 2004, Peyton Manning's MVP season with the Colts. His yards per attempt was an entire yard higher than it's been since 2014. His sack percentage was at the lowest of his entire career. He rushed for 3 touchdowns, which he hadn't done ever in his career, or the most since 2016. So I think there's a lot of statistics that even if he does come back to this exact same offense, he's going to regress statistically. And then, you know, we obviously have the holdout rumors. I think he comes back and plays before week 1. But there is obviously that little piece to add to why you would sell. And it's not like you're selling for where Tom Brady's at, where Big Ben's at, where some of these other quarterbacks who are 37, 38, and, you know, Tom Brady's up there in his 40s. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to be 38 this upcoming season. We all saw Rivers, Eli Manning, Big Ben. They've all kind of hit the 39 and 40-year-old marks, and two of them fell off a lot and they obviously retired. So I think we're a year or two away from Rodgers hitting that cliff. And if you can sell while he's still right at that fringe QB1, QB2 range, man, that's good value for someone who I don't think is going to be a starting quarterback for fantasy teams here in a couple years.
So I'm with you as far as selling Aaron Rodgers. It's just the return, which is why I think he's a tough sell. So you have to find a very specific situation where it's a contender and they need that, you know, QB2 probably. They're not going to want him as a QB1 just because of there's some risk in there with him. Because if he does get traded, who knows what team he's going to go to. I don't think he's going to wind up getting traded. I think he's going to go back to Green Bay. But at the same time, there's that chance. And then there's that chance that he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. Jeopardy it is. Be crazy, but if he just decides to retire, then you trade for him and you're screwed. So that's the thing I think I'm thinking about if I'm buying Aaron Rodgers. So that's why I think it limits the what you're going to get back for him.
Yeah, I think give this a little bit of time. He's probably not a dynasty sell for your full value right now. Give him another month. He decides he's going to come back. They give him a new deal. They work something out. And now he's coming back and everyone's looking at his 2020 stats and they're saying, let's fire it up. He's got Amari Rodgers in there at wide receiver. Another year with Robert Tonyan and some of these offensive weapons, Aaron Jones running it back with them. I think a lot of people will just be pumped up for his 2021 value that you can sell him to a contender and you can get that low-end QB1, early QB2 value in return.
I'm going to go on to my second sell. We're going to go with Debo Samuel out here, wide receiver San Francisco, the wide receiver 2 in San Francisco, and the third weapon out there. So he only has averaged 4 targets a game through 2 seasons, and that is just not promising. I feel like he's just a poor man's Curtis Samuel. His yards per reception fell to 11.8 from 14.1 in his rookie season. We have Brandon Ayuk again. He's emerges as the clear wide receiver 1 there. Trey Lance, we're going to have a rookie QB that's going to drive his value down further if he gets in there. If not, it's Jimmy G. If he plays, you know, if Lance plays early, Debo's, I think he's just going to the tank. I think Brandon Ayuk is going to be more insulated because of how he finished last season with his value. He only played 3 games with Jimmy G last year as far as Debo. He averaged 6.3 targets, 4.3 receptions, and 50 yards a game. Only 1 receiving touchdowns. That's not great, Bob. So the best game of his career by far was week 11 against the Rams last year. He went for 11 for 133. We're like, okay, Debo's looking good. No Brandon Ayuk, no George Kittle. They were both out that week. So somebody out there in your league likes him. I'd include him in another deal and upgrade somewhere, and I wouldn't think twice about it. I'm not just trying to sell Debo for like a second or third round pick necessarily. I'm trying to add him on to something to improve and, you know, find that guy who liked Debo as a rookie and then go from there.
No, that's not a bad one either. I'm sure you know I've talked about it a couple times. I'm not the highest on kind of that trio of guys with Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo, just for that reason where they're not a high-powered passing offense, and those are 3 big names that haven't all really succeeded when they're all on the field together. So with Debo being the lowest of those 3, he's obviously the easiest to attain or the cheapest value, but he's somebody that could absolutely fall off a cliff if he's the least involved of the 3 as well. So
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For my second guy, I will bring to the table Myles Gaskin, running back 25 in DLF ADP. And, you know, Myles Gaskin is a name that I feel like you go back a year ago and people are like, who? The 7th round pick from Miami, Miles. Yeah, he was good at Washington, right? Yeah, like, no, this guy was kind of dead in the waters his rookie year. And then through a lot of different injuries and departures, he ends up taking over the job in Miami and does pretty well, I would say, more from a pass catching standpoint. He honestly wasn't that great as a runner. As much as we hype up Myles Gaskin, you know, as this really sleeper back and he's taken over the backfield, they didn't add anybody. You know, he had a 4.1 yards per carry He had 6 broken tackles on 140 attempts. That's one of the lowest rates for starting running backs. Again, he's a 7th-round pick, so there's no draft capital. You know, if he manages to hang on to the job this year, which I don't think is a sold thing, because I'm a Savon Ahmed fan. They brought in Malcolm Brown. I think it'll be a little bit more of a committee than people want to say. And if, you know, he doesn't get it done right out the gates, they have no problem handing it off to Savon Ahmed after the game that he had in replacement for Myles Gaskin last year. So if he does hang on to the job this year, I don't think he does in 2022. I think they'll address the running back position. They were dead last 2 years ago in rushing. They were 22nd this past year. So they've got to make a move to help Tua and that offense out with that running game. And I just don't think Myles Gaskin is it. I don't trust that talent, even though he has the opportunity. I think it's going to be short-lived.
So for my last name, I'm going to spice it up a bit. I'm going to go with DLF's tight end 7 with Noah Fant. Robbie is, you know, he's a Noah Fant fan, so he hates me. It's fine. He hates me anyway.
What are you doing? Chase Claypool is one thing, but Noah Fant, that's enough. You're cut off.
Listen, this has nothing to do with his talent at all and everything to do with what's around him. So you have Courtland Sutton returning, who almost assures me that he's not going, Noah Fant's not going to sniff 93 targets this year with Courtland Sutton coming back. Jerry Jeudy is looking really good. Apparently he's getting the most targets out there with Teddy Bridgewater. And then we have to talk about, you know, Hamler is actually going to steal some more. And who do we have at running back now? Javonte? Oh, we have Javonte, who is very good through the air. So they just added a lot of targets through the air, and I just don't like that. So he's going to have to be really efficient. And in the red zone, sure, he's going to catch touchdowns and everything, but you still have all those other weapons there. So, again, I love the talent, but at tight end 7 in most leagues that are completely devoid of tight end talent, I'm going to try and sell him. Specifically, I would try and upgrade to TJ Hockenson, work something out where Noah Fant and a pick or something, and get TJ Hockenson, because I think he's more insulated. You know, his value is going to rise this year, and he's going to be probably top 4 or 5 tight end.
What's interesting is you didn't bring up, I think, the biggest point against Fant, and I think that's the questions at quarterback. You didn't say the name Drew Lock at all, and I think this is a really pivotal year for Drew Lock. I'm not on the side that says he's going to be out and Teddy Bridgewater's taking over. I think he has a chance to succeed with all of these weapons in his third year, kind of second year as a starter, honestly. He only had 13 games this last year and 5 his rookie year. So really just has one full season under his belt. So I don't think the book's written on him yet. I think he can succeed. And that offense, you know, you think they're kind of a play a good defense, run the ball a lot, but they did throw 556 times last year, which, you know, isn't amazing. It's not like the 600 times like that Dallas was trending on, Falcons and some of these other teams, but it's right there middle of the pack. It's not on the lower end like a Minnesota Vikings team. So I do think they throw enough where Fant can get close to those targets, especially if you add in the 17th game, right? He'll probably hit that, but on a per game basis is probably what you're saying, that he won't see those targets. So I think
I'm also
he'll be
not, again. I want to go back to saying, I'm not saying he's bad at football and he's going to be bad at fantasy. I'm just saying I think it's a good time to sell Noah Fant. That's all it is. And if I was going to sell him, I would try and upgrade at the tight end position.
I think kind of like Chase Claypool, man, I'm on the opposite side where I'll take that trade with you. I will bring my third player to the table here and round this out. Here's my hot one. It's Michael Thomas, wide receiver 13. So one of the higher names on this list, higher ranked names in ADP right now. And here's the thing. Michael Thomas is a volume receiver. He just is. In his first 4 seasons, he averaged 9.5 targets a game. And in 2019, when he was the wide receiver 1, he had 11.5 targets per game that season, and with a 78% catch rate. So we're talking about a guy that just gets peppered a lot, and he caught a lot of those targets. That was with a quarterback who averaged 84% of his throws were on-target throws. Only 10% of Drew Brees' throws were considered bad throws. Now he gets Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, and I think most of us are thinking Jameis Winston gets first crack at that. And so Jameis Winston, as we know, not as accurate as Drew Brees, but it's even more than that. He's way less accurate than Drew Brees, like insanely less accurate, right?
He's not quite as accurate as Drew Brees.
I'm just sugarcoating.
He may
just
have thrown 78 interceptions in a year.
Right? He had 69.9% of his throws were on target. So we're dropping over 10% of throws are on target. And get this, here's the one that really boggles my mind. 20.6% of his throws were considered bad throws. And that's double of what Drew Brees has. So now we have less efficiency at the quarterback position for a volume-based receiver, right? Now, next is Drew Brees was more of a short field thrower. Jameis is obviously opposite. He's a guy that slings the ball down the field. He throws it down the field early and often, as we saw in his Tampa Bay days. Michael Thomas might be that only guy in town, but even though he is, the Saints don't have a large volume of throwing the ball in the 2020 season. They're actually 25th in pass attempts with only 33 per game. Even when Drew Brees started, you take just the games Drew Brees was at the helm, they still ranked outside the top 20. They only threw it 34 and a half times a game. So I think there's a big chance that you go from their 2019 season where Michael Thomas was a wide receiver one, they're throwing it 36 times per game, to what they're doing now. They've kind of evolved that offensive system, especially with Drew Brees out. I just think the efficiency is going to be lower. The passing volume is going to be lower. And wide receiver 13 is just way too generous for this guy. I think it's time to move him before it's too late. He's not old yet. He's 28. So I'm not saying move him because of age, but move him because he's going to drop in value. And then you get the age factor in next year. He's going to plummet quite quickly.
So I'm with you on the sell thing, but with the Jameis thing, we're talking about a quarterback who helped Mike Evans sustain stud year after stud year, not necessarily by being the most efficient quarterback, but just by peppering him. 2015, 148 targets, 173 in 2016, 136 in 2017, 139 in 2018, went over 1,000 yards every single year of his career. So that's what he can wind up doing if he locks in on somebody. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, I get the only show in town argument. It's kind of like Allen Robinson with Chicago, where he's overcome that, no matter that he's the only wide receiver there, bad quarterback play, he's overcome it. Honestly, I'm gonna say I don't think Michael Thomas is the same talent as Allen Robinson. I think Michael Thomas is the wide receiver we see right now because he's gotten 185 targets in 2019. He got 148 targets in 2018. So I just don't think he is quite the receiver that breaks through the same way Allen Robinson can. So might be a little hot takey, but that is my dynasty sell.
Okay. I sell that take.
All right. Well, Tom, we didn't agree on everything, which is probably good because now people can kind of chew over all of those thoughts and see who they might want to sell. With that in mind, drop in some comments. Tell us what you think about the dynasty sells that we had and throw out some names that you guys think are dynasty sells as well. Once again, thank you guys for watching, and we hope to see you on the next video.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.